I hope you all had a cleansing, purifying day today. Some of you have gone to the 22 Tirthas. Others have gone to Dhanush Tirtha. And others have gone to Darbashayan Tirtha. And whichever one you missed, you will go tomorrow or the next day. It is a very special blessing that we could all be together on the very holy day of the disappearance of our beloved Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Today I was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada Los Angeles in 1973 on this occasion. I'd like to repeat some of the things that he said. He was describing how in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya gives his instruction that my teachings and the holy name of Krishna should be in every town and village throughout the world. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Alalanath Temple in Orissa, just as he was leaving Sri Puri Dham for his South Indian tour, thousands and thousands of people came to this temple from all the villages in the area just to see Lord Chaitanya, his beautiful golden form, dancing. And in the ecstasy of love of God and compassion to all living beings, with his arms raised, he was chanting and inducing everyone to take shelter of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
It was at that time that Sri Nityananda Prabhu predicted that in every town and village throughout the world, your names will be chanted. Srila Prabhupada described how the six Goswamis, some of them were extremely powerful, extremely wealthy. Others were coming from the highest priestly class of South India. They left everything to go to Vrindavan, to establish the mission of Lord Chaitanya there. By their examples of living such pure lives in renunciation and devotion, by their extracting the very essence of all scriptures and putting them in their writings, they contributed an oceanic library of transcendental literature, both philosophically as well as rasik, through revealing the highest emotions of the spiritual world, laid the foundation for Lord Chaitanya's worldwide mission. They also established temples and rediscovered the holy places of Sri Vrindavan Dham, so that people will understand the beauty and the glory of having pilgrimages together purely for the purpose of accessing the mercy of the Lord and purifying our hearts. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda, they took those books and went to the areas of India where they were brought up and transformed hundreds and thousands, millions of people's hearts. And great acharyas like Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan, they revealed deeper and deeper understandings and realizations of the inner treasures of bhakti. With Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was empowered with a vision to take these teachings throughout the world. And his example was extraordinary. He was a grihastha with 10 children and was serving as a magistrate for the British government. Even with all those responsibilities, he was Gaura Shakti. He was the divine potency of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was showing by his example and through his writings and his words how it's practical for people from all parts of the world to access and expand upon the pure teachings of love of God. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a prayer, a dream, that someday from all over the world, Europeans, Russians, Japanese, Africans, Americans will come together with their Indian brothers and sisters beyond all sectarian concerns. They will find shelter in the universal church of Nam Sankirtan. There are temples and churches and synagogues and mosques which are holy places of worship. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur observed that the tendency is that they are somewhat sectarian, sometimes more than that. But the Nam Sankirtan movement, or the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, is universal. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrapita Niyamita Smarane Nakala. That my dear Lord, you have many, many names. And in all of these genuine names being revealed through holy scriptures throughout time, you have invested your potencies. And by chanting these names, Cheto Dharapana Marajanam, one's heart becomes pure. And one ultimately accesses Anandam Buddhivardhanam, the happiness that we're all looking for, Prema Bhakti. Therefore, this Sankirtan is the prime benediction for humanity at large. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was envisioning this, that kirtan can actually bring people from all different places in the world, from all different religious backgrounds, together, united in the essence of love of God, and be elevated. He dreamed that people from all over the world, of different colors, of different races, of different religions, different sexes, would appreciate the great contribution of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Come to the holy dham of Sri Mayapur, and together with joined hands raise their arms and chant Krishna. Bhakti Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote in one song in glorification of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that the essence of all religion and spiritual paths is to develop a taste for the chanting of God's names. And in doing so, awaken deep, genuine compassion for all living beings. Considering the situation in the world when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living, this was a very difficult task. There was so much sectarian among the religions of the world, and in the course of time, although there were great pure-hearted saints in the line of Lord Chaitanya, there was also widespread corruption. People, in the name of the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya, exploiting people for their own personal preferences. That universal principle where Lord Chaitanya, he battled so hard to give everyone the right to become perfect, even in the name of Lord Chaitanya's movement. There was caste sectarian considerations. According to one's birth, one was qualified. There was also people manipulating the purest, highest, divine teachings of the Madhurya Ras, of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and making that into a form of worship in this material world by people who were still highly covered over by selfishness, arrogance, and lust. It was a mess. And scholars, both of India and the British, had very little respect for Lord Chaitanya's movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living a pure, exemplary life. Practically everyone respected him. He could have just put Lord Chaitanya aside and just taught pure love of God. That would have seemed to be an easy thing when there's so much corruption. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur did something even more courageous. He was willing to risk his life, his everything, to establish the pure, transparent nature of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in such a way that people from all over the world would accept it, respect it, and embrace it. There were at times threats to his life, but he would not compromise. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, we cannot imitate him, but if we follow in his footsteps, we become perfect. He would work his regulated hours in the court system of the British. He'd come home. He'd go to villages, give lectures, do kirtan, have dinner, take rest by 8 o'clock at night. He'd be up by midnight, and he would be chanting his japa and writing books till the next morning when he would have to go to work. Otherwise, how could a person, so many volumes and volumes of literatures, poems, songs, prayers, one man, it's beyond human belief, and he had 10 children and a job. He wanted to show, as he sings in one song, citing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Grihe thako, vane thako, sada hari bole thako. Grihe thako, vane thako, sada hari bole thako, sukhe dukhe bhulao nako, barne hari naam koro re. Gai Gaura Madhusware, Gai Gaura Madhusware, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Gai Gaura Madhusware.
Whether one is a grihasta, householder living with husband, wife, children, job, rent, mortgage, bills, social pressures, in-laws, or whether one is a sannyasi living in the forest with mosquitoes and snakes. Doesn't matter. Just chant the holy names of the Lord with sincere feeling, and you can become free from all the happiness and distress of this world and taste the sweetness of Krishna Prema. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's simple message, which he established through such incredibly deep, profound, philosophical, foundational wisdom, but he wanted to give it to the whole world. At one time he was living in Sri Jagannath Puri as a magistrate, and the government also made him the superintendent of Lord Jagannath's temple. He prayed to the Lord, "Send me a son who will be a ray of Vishnu to help me spread the message of pure love of Krishna throughout the world." Soon after, he had a child. He was born February 6, 1874. He was given the name Bimala Prasad. On the day of Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath's chariot was going down the grand road toward Gundicha, and it stopped right in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, the very birthplace of this child. And the chariot did not move for 3 days. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devi, brought that little baby, just hardly 6 months old, brought to the top of the chariot and placed him as an offering of love before Lord Jagannath. The baby spontaneously reached out his little tiny infant hands to reach to the lotus feet of Jagannath. And at that moment, a garland fell from Jagannath around the child. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being an intimate associate of the Lord himself, he understood, my prayer has been fulfilled. And this Bimala Prasad was later to become Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he was just a little child, he showed his incredible determination, like Prahlad, when he ate a mango. And his father mildly chastised him just to teach him a good lesson. He said, this mango has not been offered to Krishna yet. It's boga. You should only eat mangoes after they're offered to Krishna. And the little boy said, I will never eat another mango for the rest of my life. Now in Bengal, in Orissa, the mango season is a favorite time of the year. He never tasted a mango ever again. Srila Prabhupada said, even when he was offered as a great acharya, he would say, no, I cannot accept, I am an offender. He was saying this when he was 60 years old. By the time he was 70, he memorized and could give elaborate purports to the entire Bhagavad Gita. And he was always helping his father with his very literary and other types of outreach activities. Srila Prabhupada explains once when his father was very ill, he was being challenged by caste Goswamis and Smarta Brahmins because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much challenging that one's spiritual qualification is based on one's qualities, not on one's automatic birth. If you're born in a Sudra family or an untouchable family like Haridas, but you have the qualities of a Brahmin, you should be able to do Brahminical activities. Aho bata swapacho togariyam. And if you're tasting the sweetness of the holy name and actually living a truly Vaishnav life, then you could be a guru for the world in whatever system you were born into. But even if you're born in a Brahmin family, if you don't have the qualities, you're not really a Brahmin. This was terribly upsetting. It was seen as this intense threat to people who made their livelihood on the basis of their birthrights. So there was a challenge. But he was ill. So he sent his young son, a teenager at the time, to defend what is so strongly supported within the Vedic literatures and was revealed so clearly by Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a book, Vaishnavism and Brahmanism, something like that. He showed it to Bhaktivinoda and he was very happy. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati or Bimala Prasad at the time, he went to this meeting and people were very, very, there were two sides and some people were really, really angry just seeing him and what he represented. So he began the lecture by glorifying the Brahmins. And in doing so, all the caste Brahmins thought, he's on our side. He melted their hearts. They were rejoicing. And then at the next stage, he explained what a Brahmin really is. On the basis of scripture, on the basis of acharyas, on the basis of logic and rationality. And they had to accept. It was a tremendous victory. What is a real Vaishnav? In 1914, Bhaktivinod Thakur disappeared. And in 1950, the Diksha Guru of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, left this world. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was the very embodiment of renunciation in loving devotion. In his earlier life, he was a grain merchant. He was married. His wife died. He went to Vrindavan and exhibited impossible qualities of a saintly person. He was so totally absorbed in Radha and Krishna's Leela and Sri Vrindavan Dham. He saw everything as so holy. Absolutely detached from any type of sensual activities. When it was time to eat, sometimes he would just take his hand and scoop up some mud from the Yamuna and eat it. And that was his meal. He relished it. This is the river dust that is infused with the nectar of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. One time a Babaji told him that he had just purchased some property in Vrindavan. And he thought Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would be very impressed. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, "Who are you to be the owner of anything in Vrindavan? This is Krishna's abode. Every single particle of dust in Vrindavan is Chintamani. If you have the proper appreciation for one speck of dust of Sri Braj Bhumi, it can award you the highest treasure of ecstatic love of God. It can relieve you from all the sufferings of birth, old age, disease, and death forever and elevate you to the spiritual world. In fact, you will realize this is the spiritual world. One speck of dust from Vrindavan is more valuable than all the wealth of all the treasures of all the kings and the crorepatis and millionaires and billionaires of this whole world. It's more precious than all the wealth in the heavenly planets. And you think that you can purchase Vrindavan with some rupees? This is your illusion. Now, he wasn't telling that nobody should buy anything in Vrindavan, but he was establishing a principle. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, we are not the proprietors of anything. Krishna is the proprietor. And Gokula Vrindavan of this world is not different than Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. It's the holiest of all holy places. It's not the place to own. It's a place to serve with love, with detachment, with humility, and with gratitude. And in that spirit, to take that dust within our heart wherever we go in the world and chant the holy name. To see my potency. In 1918, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sat in front of a photograph of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and accepted the sannyas order, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And with the help of some of his early followers who had deep faith in him, he established the Chaitanya Math. He established his first little temple in Calcutta on Ultadunga Junction Road. Bhaktivinod Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj instructed him to spread this message of love of Godhead to all humanity. He was living in Mayapur. Previous to what we have just said, he vowed to stay in Mayapur and chant the names of Krishna 1 billion times. Day and night, month after month after month, he would just eat a small amount of food once a day. He was in a little thatched hut. He would chant from early morning till late at night. And when it was raining, he sat with an umbrella chanting and fulfilled that vow. Yes, like so many Babaji's who are experiencing the sweet nectar of living in the holy land of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya, he was absorbed. But he left Sri Mayapur Dham, and in those days Mayapur Dham was very quiet, and went to Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada explains how when he was 25 years old, in 1922, one of his very best friends, Narendranath Mullick, said, "Abhay, there's a very, very good saintly person, a follower of Lord Chaitanya. I met him with my family. He's speaking tonight on Ultadunga Junction Road. Come with us." And Srila Prabhupada said that when he was a child, his father, Gaur Mohan Day, every day he would invite at least 4 or 5 sadhus to the house. And he would have little Abhay help to serve. And he would always ask those sadhus only for one blessing, that my little boy will become a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. But Srila Prabhupada said he was not at all inclined to go because he saw so much superficiality and hypocrisy among sadhus. He really didn't want to associate with them. And Srila Prabhupada also explains at that time he was a very active, enthusiastic supporter of Gandhi's nationalistic movement to remove the British from power in India. Srila Prabhupada was in a very prestigious college, the Scottish Church's College. And he was going to get a degree and an education that was very rare and very much sought out by so many in India, that would promise him so many opportunities throughout his life. But Gandhiji, he encouraged young people to give up their colleges and give up their degrees for the sake of the higher principle of independence for the nation. And in those days, the British, they would take the cotton from India, send it to England, and through weaving mills, they would make cloth and send it back to India to sell at high prices. And he saw this was putting the poor Indians in poverty. So Gandhi, he was striking the British right at the heart through their economic control. He said, boycott all British-made cloth. And at your homes, use little spinning wheels and little hand-weaving machines to make your own khadi. In those days, to wear khadi was not a fashion or a style. It was a serious political statement. When the police, when the military, when the British, or when anybody from India sees you, they know that you are fighting against the British for independence. It was like a flag wearing khadi. Srila Prabhupada, Abai, only wore khadi. And he quit school from Scottish Church's college, rejected his degree. At that time, one of his father's very dear friends, who really loved Abhai, his name was Kartik Chandra Bose, he invited Prabhupada to work for him in the Bose laboratories. They were making pharmaceuticals. It gave Srila Prabhupada a very nice job. He said, Kartik Chandra Bose wasn't into Gandhi. But he said to Prabhupada, because you're wearing khadi and because Gandhiji is getting people to spin and make their own clothes, I can see that this is going to inspire industry in the people of India. And that's the one thing I like about this movement. So please understand, that day in Calcutta in 1922, this was Srila Prabhupada's position in society. This was his passion. He wasn't interested in seeing some sadhu. Prabhupada told us where he lived, he used to look out from his window and he'd see people waking up, getting dressed and going to work. And he saw one man, he'd get up, kiss his wife goodbye, I guess, and then he'd put on the robes of a sannyasi and go out and beg. Then come home and put on, you know, his regular old grihastha clothes and eat with his family. This was a very common thing. So Prabhupada said, I'm not interested. Naranja Nath was saying, no, you please come. He said, I'm not interested. I've seen so many sadhus. No, you come. This is different. I already know. And it was in the evening, and so many people were going by, and they were watching these two people pulling each other in a very loving way. But Prabhupada told us, even from his childhood, among his friends, he was always considered the leader. And for anything to be approved among his circle of friends, he had to approve of it. So he insisted. So Prabhupada Abhai said, yes, I will go. And they went upstairs to the rooftop where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Abhai and his friend bowed down. And before they could even get up from that bowed down position, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati very compassionately but firmly proclaimed, you are an intelligent young man. You should bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the whole world in the English language. No! Srila Prabhupada was taken aback by Srila Prabhupada. He was passionately involved in the nationalistic movement for a higher cause. And he presented to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada that this is very good what you're saying, But who will listen to the people of India with our philosophical spiritual message as long as we are a subordinated, dependent country? We have no real integrity or respect within the world. Let us first fight for independence. And then these things could be pursued. It was a good argument. With a very sincere and compassionate voice, Srila Saraswati Thakur replied, "Politics and politicians are always changing. Everything in this mortal, mundane world is always changing. First one person is in leadership and power, then somebody else is in leadership and power. Krishna consciousness, Sanatan Dharma, is an eternal truth. We are not these temporary fleeting bodies. We are the eternal soul. We have an eternal relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, every living being. Death could come at any moment. This is the prime need for all human society, the Jiva Dharma, the Dharma of the soul. It cannot wait for any adjustments within this ever-changing experience of the world. Now is the time." Abhay was convinced. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur went on and on and on explaining the very essence of the message of Lord Chaitanya to humanity. And they stayed there for hours, hearing. When the meeting ended, some brahmacharis and sannyasis gave nice prasad. Prabhupada said they were so kind. And they left. Narendranath looked to Srila Prabhupada and said, "What did you think?" And Srila Prabhupada told us, his reply was, "Lord Chaitanya's mission is in excellent hands. He is a very nice saintly person." And Srila Prabhupada said, on that very evening, in his heart of hearts, he fully accepted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada as his spiritual master. Prabhupada said, not officially, but in my heart. And this is where the real connection between disciple and guru is, in the heart. The official is an external manifestation of what is within. But Srila Prabhupada, at the time of that meeting, already had a wife and a child. And he understood his father was a great, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Sri Sri Radha Govinda. But his father also taught his example. If you have a wife and children, your dharma to the Lord is also to take care of them. And he taught how? In a mood of pure devotion. In 1923, Srila Prabhupada moved to Allahabad. But he said, "I was always thinking of my Guru Maharaj. Always eager for the chance to meet him and his wonderful devotees and to serve." In 1928, there was a Kumbh Mela at Prayag. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent one of his main sannyasis and some brahmacharis to open a center there. So when they came to Allahabad, practically everyone they approached for help, they all said the same thing. If you want help, you should go to Abhay Babu. He's running this medical store, Day's Pharmacy, Prayag Pharmacy. He's a very, very deeply religious, very pious man, and we're sure he'll help you.
So they came to the Prayag pharmacy and met Srila Prabhupada.
And as soon as he saw them, it was about 5 years since he had seen any of his heartfelt God brothers or people connected to his guru. He was so excited. He offered all help.
And he became such an intimate part of that congregation. In 1932, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur brought a large group of devotees on a yatra to Sri Braj Bhumi. And they were traveling to all the holy places throughout the Vrindavan area. Srila Prabhupada was, he wanted to go so much, but he had so many occupational responsibilities. But somehow or other, he escaped everything and he arrived in Koshi on the very last day that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would be there. And Srila Prabhupada told us during that parikrama, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was so bold, because he knew as long as these external misconceptions about who is qualified and who is not qualified for being a Vaishnava, for being a Brahmin, then the real message of Lord Chaitanya will never catch in the world. People were threatening his life. And when he came to Vrindavan, the seven temples, most of them, they closed and locked the doors so that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his followers could not get in. And some people even cursed them and threw stones at them. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all of his followers, they were so deeply convinced of the pure message that they were representing, that they were blissful throughout everything. And they were dancing through the roads of Vrindavan, chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said one day he was sitting with his Gurudev, and his Guru told him that a police superintendent approached him and said, "We have been offered a 25,000 rupee bribe by some people in these caste communities." They said, "We'll give you all..." Do you know how much 25,000 rupees was worth in the 1930s? It's a lot now. He said, "We're going to kill this Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You just don't do anything about it, and you'll get this money." And the policeman said, "Regularly it is our custom to accept such bribes. But we understand who you are. You are a saintly person. We could not accept it. But please be careful." He was willing to risk his life for the truth. Srila Prabhupada went to Koshi to meet him. And he was told that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to leave the last morning. It was his last lecture. But at the same time, it was announced that the Parikrama group was going to the Sheshashayi Vishnu Temple. Everyone who wants to come. So 99% of the whole Parikrama group of the whole yatra went to the temple. And Srila Prabhupada said that he was thinking, "What will I see at the temple? My Gurudev is here. Let me hear from him."
He said only about 10 or 12 people came to his guru's lecture. And they were all very staunch sannyasis and some of the leaders of the whole mutt. Prabhupada was the only kind of not really deep inside person. And he was sitting there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking for about an hour. He was speaking about Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that all the Vedic literatures, all the great scriptures are essentially teaching these three things. Sambandha, how to establish our relationship with the Lord by being attracted to the Lord. Abhideya, how to act according to that relationship through active, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. And Prayojana, the goal of that. Develop ecstatic love of God like that of the gopis of Vrindavan. Prema Pumartha Mahan, that the crest jewel of all realizations is the awakening of prem, or spiritual love from within. After about an hour, many people left. They had to do duties, other considerations. And as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was speaking for 2 hours, little by little people were leaving. He spoke for hours and hours. And there was only a few people there. And he kept speaking. And Srila Prabhupada didn't go. He just sat and listened. Srila Prabhupada said, sometimes he was speaking such high philosophical, scientific, with such big words I didn't even understand, but I was relishing it. And the next morning he saw Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati off with the whole yatra. The year of 1933, just a few months later, they were having the grand opening of the temple in Allahabad, the Rupa Gaudiya Math. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was coming for the installation of the deities and the inauguration of the project. And it was planned to have initiation. Now this is 11 years since Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj. The superintendent of the temple, Atulananda, was approached by Prabhupada to take initiation. Atulananda was really excited because there was no one who helped the center who was so much devoted as Srila Prabhupada. He said, I will present your name to my Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada came in and Atulananda said, this is Abhay. I would like to recommend him for initiation. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he is a very nice boy. He likes to hear. He does not go away. I will accept him. Srila Prabhupada was so ecstatic to repeat those words to us even 40 years later. Because he understood from his Gurudev, one who has a taste for hearing can have a taste for speaking and chanting. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying about our Gurudev Maharaj, he likes to hear. He does not go away. We could write books on that one sentence. Because he deeply likes to hear, he will be empowered to speak this message with such ecstatic love and compassion. And he does not go away. He'll never give up. He'll be faithful and loyal to our sampradaya and to our mission throughout his life. This is the way we can understand this. And Srila Prabhupada was given Harinam initiation and also Gayatri Diksha in the same yajna. And now the relationship became, as Prabhupada would say, official. From his heart of hearts. Srila Prabhupada explained, from that time, he was stationed in Allahabad. He would regularly go, as much as possible, he would take a train to Calcutta just to visit his Gurudev, or sometimes Mayapur. He did this very often. And they had such an affectionate relationship. He said that Srila Saraswati Thakur was just so kind and so affectionate toward him. And sometimes they just sit together alone and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would talk about so many things. They would reveal their hearts to each other. After some time, Srila Prabhupada explained, the business in Allahabad fell apart. Yasyaham manugrim nami harishyeta dhanam shanai. Prabhupada said this was a very good thing. When Krishna wants to show his mercy, sometimes he gives you everything. When he wants to give special mercy, sometimes he takes it away. So you have nothing and no one else to turn to except him. And in this spirit, we could really cry out the Nayam Supreme. So Srila Prabhupada shifted to Bombay. His family stayed in Allahabad. And Prabhupada rented a place on Grant Road. It's just a few blocks from Radha Gopinath Temple in Chhupati. Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Goswami Maharaj, his two godbrothers, came to Bombay. That's what it was called in those days. And said, we want to open up a temple here. We've been sent by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, our Guru Maharaj. Will you help us? He said, I am yours. And they went out together. And Srila Prabhupada had so many contacts. And they would do so many Prabhupada would set up the programs. Prabhupada would introduce them. Prabhupada would lead kirtan. Srila Sridhar Maharaj would speak. Goswami Maharaj would explain about the project. And they were attracting many, many people. And gradually, they had a temple. And they had a deity. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to install the deity and inaugurate the temple. At that time, Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj and Sridhar Maharaj, when Prabhupada was not together with them, they said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he is so expert at He's an expert preacher, he's an expert kirtan singer, he's an expert manager, he's so dedicated and faithful, we should make him the president of this mat, this temple. Srila Saraswati Thakur said in reply, let him live outside for now. Let him do just what he is doing. In course of time, he will do everything. That same year, during the Vyas Puja of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada wrote a beautiful offering, a poem, Adoryi Adoryi, it begins. And when the devotees heard that, they were so deeply moved. It was just a small gathering in Bombay. At the time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Jagannath Puri. But they sent a copy of that poem. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told them, publish it in our newspaper, The Harmonist. And he said, anything that Abhay Charanaravinda writes, publish it. And that one particular stanza of the poem, absolute essentient thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast moved.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he has captured the very essence of my whole mission in this one stanza. And he would regularly read it to guests and devotees and whoever came before him. He was so proud. And from that time, Srila Prabhupada said, all of his god brothers called him Kavi, great poet. But from Bombay, Srila Prabhupada wrote to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur a letter. He said, most all of my god brothers are brahmacharis, sannyasis, and they're giving their whole lives, all of their energy, everything to serving your mission, to preaching, to distributing your books. He said, I'm a grihastha. I'm trying to serve according to my capacity. But please instruct me. What would you like me to do? It was in 1936, he got a return letter from Jagannath Puri, where Srila Saraswati Thakur gave him the same exact instruction he gave in 1922, the first day they met. That there is such great need throughout the whole world for this Krishna consciousness, this path of pure loving devotion, as Lord Chaitanya is taught. Use your good intelligence and spread this message in the English language all over the world. Soon after that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from the world. He gave some final instructions to all of his followers in all generations to come as well. Essential instructions, wherein through Srila Prabhupada's lectures and his tapes, he so much elaborated on these basic teachings, which are so much to the heart of what we are giving our lives to. A few of the things he said in these final words is he advised them all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all your energy and resources. We can say that everything belongs to God. Krishna tells in Gita what it really means to serve Him and to please Him. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That He comes to this world in a mission of compassion to free people from the sufferings of birth and death and give people elevation to the eternal world of spiritual love. Krishna comes again and again for this. He's the father, the mother of everyone. Whatever energy we have, whatever resources we have, whether it's great or small, it doesn't matter. But live as an instrument of compassion. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's basic teachings to practically everyone he met on his South Indian tour. He told the Kurma Brahman, you don't have to change your position. Just chant the holy names of Krishna and share this great message of love of God with whoever you meet. Whether we're illiterate or whether we're literary geniuses, it doesn't matter. Just use whatever energy we have to be an instrument of compassion of the Lord in our life. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was by material considerations practically illiterate. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada called him a living encyclopedia. He was an unbelievable scholar. Incredible scholarship. Try to read his books. English was a third language for him. Bengali, Sanskrit, Hindi, these were his first languages. But yet people like me, I don't know any other language except English, and I can't understand the words he's saying. So high English. What a scholar he was. He was Singha Guru. Through logic, through rational persuasion, through scriptural evidence, through realization, on every level, he was unconquerable in debate. He was given the name Saraswati Thakur because he was considered the greatest astrologer and astronomer of the time. But he put it all aside and decided all this stuff, you know, it has its relevance, but all that really matters is everything is dependent on the will of Krishna. We just surrender to Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted Gaur Kishore Das Babaji as his guru and praised him and worshipped him with all his heart and totally humbled his life before him. Whatever energy we have, big or small, whether we're Hanuman lifting mountains or that little spider who's kicking dust, we can make our life perfect. If we just try to be instruments of the Lord's compassion by using whatever energy and resources we may have. And in doing that, there can be no envy. And there can be no arrogance. When someone thinks that I am doing more than you, I am more intelligent, I have more wealth, I'm a better manager, I'm a better philosopher, better speaker, better kirtan singer, better dressed, whatever it may be, I may look nicer. We become arrogant toward somebody who has less than us. What does that mean? It means we're ignorant. To the degree we think we're better than somebody else, it's like a red light blinking saying, you are a fool. Correct yourself. If you're sincere, you're going to see it that way. So we're arrogant, condescending toward people who are less than us. Sometimes, even if we're charitable to them. Oh, you need food? I have money, here's food. Ah, see? You are subordinate to me. I'm feeding you. Don't forget that. That's not compassion. Not real compassion. And when we are less than someone, the tendency is we either become envious. I want what that person has. Even to the extent where we think, I don't want that person to have that, because I don't. Either I should have better, then I don't matter. Then I don't mind if he's like he is. If I have better. But if I'm not better, then he should lose what he has. Because I cannot tolerate somebody better than me. That's envy. Or we become depressed. We just think, everybody else is better than me. I'm so useless. I'm just a fool. That's not humility. Humility is when we think God is great and I am small. But when we become depressed because other people have what we want, that's just an unsatisfied ego. It's not humility. And we can become depressed.
but this one little verse that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has spoken in his instructions. Preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath with all your energy and resources. By understanding it properly, it means whatever we have and whatever anybody else has used in the service of the Lord, we appreciate it. In whatever way Krishna is empowering me with whatever I have, whatever I don't have. Our ultimate goal, Srila Saraswati Thakur says, our ultimate goal is to become the dust at the feet of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. To be the dust as the servants of the servants of the servants of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. What an incredible statement. It completely contradicts material psychology. People want a higher and higher and higher and higher position materially. To be the dust on someone's feet as your ultimate aspiration? Try to explain that to your parents. I tried. Because when I first became a devotee of this society, I saw everyone sign their letters, your servant. So my first letter to my mother and father, I just wrote how I'm doing nicely, and I tried to tell them about how something nice about spiritual life. I signed it, your servant. I wasn't initiated yet. Your servant, Richard. They wrote back to me, said it was a nice letter, but why are you demeaning yourself in such a harsh way by saying you're our servant? You're an intelligent young man. You have so many opportunities. Why do you just want to be a servant? They were really worried about me. So I replied to that letter and signed it, the servant of your servant. And they didn't write back. I understood that they didn't want me to take it to the next stage. But after some years, they would tell me that I want to be the servant of your servant. So I was very happy. To be the dust at the feet of the servants of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswami. The ultimate aspiration. That means to understand there is no higher position than to be a servant of the Vaishnavas. Why? Because nothing pleases Krishna more than that. Kulashekar Alwar, he prayed that I'm never going to be happy with this solid gold bejeweled with precious gems crown on my head. The only thing I'll ever be happy with is when the feet of those who love the Lord are on my head. That is real wealth. That is real power. The dust of the feet of Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis means to be the humble, sincere servant of their servants. To take their instructions, to take their example and inspiration in our hearts with all appreciation and gratitude, with an eagerness to serve. If we could just understand this, the ultimate aspiration in our life, and keep that focused to please the Lord by being a sincere and humble servant of the servant of the servant. And please remember, these are his final instructions to all of us. Next he says, you should all work conjointly under the spiritual master with the view to serve at the absolute knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To all work conjointly. This was one of our own Guru Maharaj, our Srila Prabhupada's last instructions also in 1977. He said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate together in fulfilling this mission. We all have our own selfish desires, aspirations, opinions. It's natural. Unity in diversity is practically applied and realized when our unity is based on a principle that is higher than all of our differences in regard to Vaishnava relationships. We see in practically every religious movement or spiritual path after the founder or the acharya or the avatar leaves, there's so many different opinions. Oftentimes, so many different selfish agendas, which usually nobody ever admits is a selfish agenda. The tendency we always think, I am supporting the truth, and you are not. You are wrong, I am right. And they're usually on technicalities. Show your love by how you cooperate. That means to forgive each other. And to give up our selfishness. It's not about me. It's about Krishna. It's about serving others. That's what it's about. It's not about what I want or what makes me feel good. It's about how to please other people, other Vaishnavas. To serve the Vaishnavas and show compassion to the conditioned souls. That's the way we could chant the holy names properly. He continues on and says, these are his final instructions. You should somehow, these words are very, very powerful. You should somehow live without quarrel. Should I repeat that? You should somehow live without quarrel. And how do we do that? By putting Krishna in the center. Ahankar, the false ego, I'm in the center. What I like, what I want, what I know, what I believe. He's ordering all of his disciples. And all of his grand disciples and great grand disciples and great great grand disciples. Don't quarrel. And the way to do that is each and every one of us has to take the responsibility to put Krishna in the center. What will please Krishna? You see, the process of somehow living without quarrel is the process that will make us absolute pure devotees, paramhamsas, fit to go to the spiritual world. The propensity to quarrel
all the excuses and reasons to quarrel are facilities to help us to really seek the essence beyond all these quarrels. They're opportunities. You have to really keep Krishna in the center. If you don't, there's going to be chaos. It's an emergency. It's an urgency. It's a need. If you don't feel sick, you probably won't take medicine. So if you're sick, it's good that you feel sick. Yes? One of the worst things is if you have a disease and you don't know it, then by the time you start to try to deal with it, it's too late. So are we really putting Krishna in the center of our lives? Anybody could say, yes, I'm putting Krishna in the center of my life. But then, the propensity to quarrel, the propensity to fight over trifling egoistic differences in the name of philosophy, siddhanta, and all this other stuff, is it really? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought like anything to establish the siddhanta where there was actual deviation. But he wanted his followers, don't quarrel and fight among yourselves about so many things. In 1935, Srila Prabhupada went to Radhakund to visit his Guru Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I have established this temple at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, and we've started temples all around India. And now I see some of our leaders are fighting over who gets a position, over who gets power, over who gets particular rooms, over who gets, you know, facilities of people to work under them. There's quarrel. He said, there is fire in the mat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's describing the demons of Vrindavan, after Krishna danced on Kaliya and got him to become a great devotee, the Nagapatnis, his wives, they prayed for him, and because of their prayers, Krishna forgave Kali and gave him pure love of God. They all took rest on the bank of the Yamuna that night. Oh, it was just so nice. We all get to sleep with Krishna on the bank of Yamuna tonight. And in the middle of the night, blazing fire, going all the way to the stars, it appeared, surrounding them on all four sides. In such a situation, they were helpless. Even though they considered Krishna just an ordinary little boy who was their friend, their lover, their son. In such a situation, they didn't think him God, but they took shelter of him. Krishna, save us. Krishna just inhaled for a moment, and everyone saw the entire fire go right into his mouth. Haribo. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that that fire represents communal conflict and arguments within the society of the devotees. It's like a fire. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there is fire in the mat. When people were arguing over fighting and fighting over material excess and control and power and influence. He said, if this is what our big temples are creating, better to take off the marble and sell it and use it to print and distribute books. And he told Srila Prabhupada, if you get money, print and distribute books. Prabhupada took that very seriously. So this is the parampara. If we love our guru, we can show it by cooperating together for the higher cause. It doesn't matter our position. It doesn't matter our facilities. It really doesn't matter our opinion about other people, about ourselves. What really matters, are we pleasing Krishna? Are we pleasing our spiritual master? If we're quarreling, if we're not cooperating, we are not pleasing our spiritual master or Krishna. Sankirtan means the unity of our hearts when we come together to chant the holy name. Srila Saraswati Thakur tells us, do not give up your service in spite of all danger, all criticism, or all discomforts. Because they will come. It's not that we think that because I'm serving Krishna, everything's going to go my way. Everyone's going to love me. And everyone's going to praise me. And everything's going to be comfortable because I'm serving Krishna. Well, if that's what you think, then read Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. The Pandavas. Dhruva Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, Gajendra, Ranti Dev, Krishna leaving Vrindavan, and the Gopas and the Gopis. For great souls, obstacles, Advaitacharya told us to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya confirmed it. Obstacles on the path of devotion are the friends of a devotee. Because they help us to really keep Krishna in the center and take shelter and understand what really matters. So great souls are put through difficult situations to show us how to be great. And for us, obstacles, they are opportunities that if we just respond properly, they make us great devotees. We should never give up. Srila Prabhupada personified that. His Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his first instruction and his last instruction was to take the message of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking world. The opportunity really didn't come until he was 70 years old on the Jaladuta. And he got 2 heart attacks and seasickness. And 38 days later, landed in New York. And after Butler, Pennsylvania, he was living in the Bowery. He had no money. He had nobody helping him. Even the people in India thought it was impossible, so they didn't want to waste their money or time or energy helping him. He had a stroke. He had people coming to kill him. But he didn't give up. This instruction of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took it so seriously. In spite of danger, criticism, or discomforts, not to give up. And even in this world, a person is great when they never give up. Whether they're athletes, or politicians, or businessmen, or philanthropists, people who are great that people remember on any level of society are people who, despite all difficulties, obstacles, and impossible situations, they didn't give up. And if people could do that for political power, for money,
for helping people in a philanthropic way, how much a devotee should be willing to do that? To show their love for Krishna. And to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion for people we love in this world, who should be everyone. Srila Saraswati Thakur tells, do not be disappointed. Because things are not going to always go your way. He would send his devotees out to give lectures. There are instances where they came and they said only two or three people came to our lecture. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, oh, that's wonderful. Two or three people. He said, you are speaking the message of Chaitanya Dev for Krishna's satisfaction. And you're making it available to the world. If no one comes, you should be fully enthusiastic and grateful and empowered to preach to the four walls. And again, Srila Prabhupada took this instruction so seriously. If you read his diary, he's coming from Vrindavan. He's a Paramhamsa. He's an Acharya. He's come to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. He's come to fulfill the prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's come to fulfill the mission of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread all over the world. And he writes in his diary, I went to an apartment in Manhattan and four people came. And they seemed to like the chanting. I can understand that Haridas Thakur's and Lord Nityananda's prediction will take place, that everyone will be chanting the holy names. He was not disappointed. Four people came and they just liked the chanting. And the first major program that the devotees had for him when they were just in 22nd Avenue, they rented an auditorium, first time ever, the first program beyond a tiny little storefront on the Lower East Side. It was a big place. And hardly the first row was filled with people. Everything else was empty. The devotees were totally disappointed. And Prabhupada got up on the stage and was preaching as if there were thousands of people with so much enthusiasm. The devotees, they begged forgiveness. We're sorry that nobody came. He said, nobody came? You didn't see? Narada Muni was there. Lord Brahma was there. Now what that means could be one of two things, or both. Could mean that Narada Muni and Brahma were physically there. We just didn't see him, that Prabhupada did. But it definitely also means that Krishna and all the great acharyas of our parampara are accepting whatever we sincerely offer. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if no one comes, speak this message to the four walls, and Narada Muni, Brahma, Krishna, your guru, everyone will be there hearing. That's what it's about. Prabhupada was never disappointed. The thing that discouraged him the most was when there was fighting, quarreling, among his followers. But even then, he was never disappointed. If thousands of people came, he said, this Krishna consciousness movement is for everyone, just chanting, dancing, and feasting. If no one came, he said that in Tiffany's jewelry store, because they're selling such precious jewels, not so many people come. But in the general stores to get glass jewelry, so many people are coming. So whatever the situation, he was enthusiastic, never disappointed.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells us, always hear and chant the names and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever may come in our life, never let go of that. Our hearing and chanting, like a man or a woman who has fallen from a cliff and there's one vine that you're holding on to. How many of you came to Ahovalam, to the Ukrastamba? Please raise your hand. That was a wonderful yatra. When we were crossing that bridge at the last stage of the Ukrastamba, it wasn't a bridge, it was a rock, and there were high winds, and the rock was kind of slanted, and it was only a few feet wide, and it was smooth and slippery, and you look down on both sides. You see way, way, way down below, you see the back of eagles flying over the ground. So high up. And I believe that anyone who... I remember, I'm going to tell a personal story now. I've told it before. But the brahmacharis... And I was going to go with the brahmacharis. We're supposed to go to the Ukrastamba the first day, climbing high, 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 high mountains and then going across that bridge to get to that place. And I didn't know what it was like, but I hurt my back. So the first day I couldn't go. So the brahmacharis said, we'll go the last day. So these old people... In those days, I wasn't so old. But these pretty old people. And they would come back from the Ukrastamba and say, by your mercy, we made it to the top. And I was thinking, it's not my mercy, it's Krishna's mercy. I told them that. But still, they were thinking like that. And hundreds of people were saying. And then I got there myself. And I was about to cross that rock, and I looked down, and I thought, there is no way I'm going to cross this rock. I mean, I see it. I can offer my obeisances. It's a windy day, and if the rock's this wide, and it's like this, and it... I was about to turn around, and then I thought, how am I going to explain it to all these people who think it's by my mercy that they did it? I know it's not my mercy, it's Krishna's mercy. I have to do it. If it was the first day, I would have told everybody, don't go up there, it's too dangerous. But now it's the last day and everybody but me did it. I crawled across that rock and I crawled back and I did it. How did I get on that story? Chanting, yes. So with this story in mind, picture in your mind, it's one of these mystical meditations that you have, a wind blew you off that rock from the Ukrastamba. And you're falling. Then you're going way, way down and none of those eagles are going to catch you. And in a few seconds, you're just going to be human chutney. And there's a vine, and you grab onto it, and you're holding it, and you're looking down. And you're waiting for somebody to come and see you there, and
pull the vine and take you up, yes? You know, someone will come eventually. But in the meanwhile, you're really holding on. It's a priority. This is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur means. Don't give up the chanting of the holy names. Whatever failures, whatever disappointments, whatever success, whatever occupational duties, whatever pressures in the world, it's what keeps us connected to Krishna, which is the most important thing in our life. Never give up this hearing and chanting. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ends this phase of his last instruction with these words of how to always chant the holy names. He said you should have the patience and the forbearance of a tree and the humbleness of a piece of straw. Trinadapi sunichena turor ibasi hishnuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass. Patient, tolerant, forgiving, forbearing even great obstacles like a tree. To honor, appreciate, and respect other people and not demand it or for ourselves. In this spirit, we can always chant Krishna's holy name. And Srila Saraswati concludes, Saraswati Thakur concludes, we have no desire other than this whatsoever. Fully conscious, he was chanting the holy names. He called for his very intimate, loving disciples to be chanting with him the prayers of glorification of Rupa Goswami and the Vaishnavas and the Maha Mantra. And in that pure, compassionate, purely liberated state of love of God, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed from this world in Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. No, I'm sorry, in Sri Calcutta, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. When our beloved Srila Prabhupada heard this, he was devastated by feelings of separation from his beloved Guru Maharaj. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote on Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. For Vaishnavas, for thou art living still in sound. Vaishnavas die to live and live to spread the holy name around. In that ocean of love and separation, Srila Prabhupada accepted the words of his Guru Maharaj as his life and soul. And after the disappearance of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada tells us that on several occasions, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared to him in a dream, telling him, take sannyas and fulfill your mission to share this message with the world. Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha. He said, Prabhupada was so humble.
He was just so honest, which is one of the attributes of a truly great soul. He said, when my Guru Maharaj said this, I thought, how horrible to leave everything. With what? How? But he did it. To please and to serve his Guru Maharaj, he went to Jhansi and started the League of Devotees. Worked an entire year. And everything he did was crushed and taken away by higher powers, political powers. Was he disappointed? Never. He went to Vrindavan, translated the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and after about 5 years in Radha Damodar temple, he went to Mumbai and begged Sumati Murarji for that ticket on the Jaladuta. She argued against him, she refused him. But his life, his greatest wealth, his everything was in pleasing his Gurudev. What an example. And he started with nothing. When he finally did get 26 Second Avenue, people donated 1 month's rent and they couldn't afford to give him any more. Everything was so uncertain. And he went and incorporated it as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because he had such faith. And after a few years, he was traveling around the world. Tens and thousands of followers, temples, tens of millions of books. And Srila Prabhupada always told us that it was all the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. He would tell us, there is never a moment that I am not feeling the presence of my Guru Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in this particular lecture that Srila Prabhupada was giving in 1973 in Los Angeles, on this day, the disappearance of our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada told many of the stories that I shared with you and concluded in such profound emotion. He said, I am a very old man. I do not know how many years I will live. But all of you are young, full of energy. Srila Prabhupada said, I am actually not doing, you are doing. And then he cried. Anyone who listens to this tape, your heart will melt. He was so choked up with gratitude to all of his followers, and with an appeal, please carry on with the mission of my Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada was, who has given his life, his soul, his everything for each and every one of us, is crying, pleading with us to help him to carry it on. Through accepting the gift, the matchless gift of bhakti, and cooperating together with enthusiasm, with all our energy and resources to share this with others. It was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's first instruction to him in 1922. It's the greatest need in the world. It's the greatest act of compassion in the world to spread this love of God and the eternality of the soul. Give this knowledge and experience. He took it as his life and soul then and gave his life and soul to execute it. And with a faltering voice is begging us, according to our capacity, to chant the no holy names, hear the glories of the Lord and work together to give happiness in this world of such suffering, to give love of God in this world of so much selfishness, greed, and darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is light. And God has appeared so munificently in his holy names. Like to conclude today's program by singing the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas in honor of the disappearance day of Srila Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And then we will have a pushpanjali. We don't have flowers for all of you, but you can put imaginary meditative flowers in your hands. In fact, you can meditate on holding lotus flowers and parijata flowers and kadamba flowers and every good kind of flower. And because we don't have anything else, those flowers will be accepted from your heart when you offer. Do we have the songbook somewhere? Does someone have a Vaishnav songbook? I have a Vaishnav songbook. First we'll do prayers and then we'll do pushpanjali.